I'm David Delegater. Our guest today is Molly Wellman, the doyenne of the craft cocktail in Cincinnati, and maybe nationally. The revival of cocktails that are historically and relevant and that were the basis for what we drink today is the focus of her work. Welcome to Around Cincinnati, Molly.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, thanks for coming. How did you get started in the business? What piqued your interest and involvement?
So I've been bartending for a long time. When I lived in San Francisco, I was a bartender and was a cocktail waitress too. And I moved back to Cincinnati to be closer to my family and to put my roots down here in Cincinnati. I started at a place called Chalk across the river. It was a Jean Robert restaurant. And they wanted somebody who would make classic and craft cocktails. Well, to be honest, I really didn't know much about classic and craft cocktails because I came from almost a nightclub kind of background. And I dove in. And when I dove in, I fell down the rabbit hole. I was hooked. I loved it. I loved the history behind the cocktails. I love the preparation. I loved the cocktails themselves. So I was hooked and I started making these classic cocktails and then finding the stories of them and then telling people the stories along with serving the drink. And I started getting noticed for it. And I mean, even if I wasn't getting noticed for it, I still loved it. So I would still continue to do it. So that's kind of how I got started. And then it moved from bar to bar and restaurant to restaurant and then finally opened Japs and Neons and Myrtles and Old Kentucky Bourbon Bar, and the list goes on.
What is it that defines a craft cocktail or classic cocktail? I mean, people know that we're not talking about daiquiri machines here, but
yeah. What
is it that makes them what they are?
At Japs, for instance, we make cocktails from the 1700s to the 1950s. I think there was kind of a golden era of cocktails, where a lot of the classics that we know of today came from. And that would have been between the Civil War and Prohibition. Then, taste changed again during Prohibition because, of course, we were drinking still during Prohibition. And then after Prohibition, after 13 years of drinking differently, our taste changed again and then again and again. And now we start to see the taste for cocktails that were, made over 100, 150 years ago coming back into favor. I think that's kind of defines what a classic is.
The distribution system for liquor has changed, for distilled liquor, enormously, and that has something to do with it.
Oh, yeah. With Ohio especially, we're a control state. And so that means that we can only sell the liquor that is available in the state, at my bar. Luckily, in Cincinnati, we have across the river, although I can't bring anything across the river to sell in the bar.
No, nobody does.
No, nobody's allowed to do that.
Do that.
No, heavens no. Heavens no. But with the popularity of the classic cocktail, of course, as with all things in Cincinnati, we came a little late to the plate with this. Ohio is starting to wise up about what we're using in our bars. They're not really concerned about, people will like this. It's really about how much are we buying and using that they could keep money in their till. Taxes.
Obviously, you've had to do a lot of research to learn historically what's going on. I mean, you're like a cultural anthropologist of the bottle.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, you wrote a book. And it came out in 2013, and I had to write down the name of it because I couldn't remember all these words. Handcrafted Cocktails, The Mixologist's Guide to Classic Drinks for Morning, Noon, and Night. So if I follow the title, I don't even have time to read the book, but the title says it all about what's involved in the content. Can you talk about that a little bit about
Sure.
the book?
I believe anybody could drink any time of the day, for a long time. You think about it. There's times where you do drink in the morning, brunch, if you're at a morning wedding, or, in the afternoon would be like a wedding or a baby shower or something, or, you're just hanging by the pool. Yeah, there's times in the daytime. You don't always have to wait till 5 o'clock. And then, of course, happy hour. And then at night, of course, drinking is very popular. But, like I said, I study history through classic cocktails. And in this book, I have close to 100 recipes. Half of them are classics, and half of them have like the story behind the classics. And then half of them are cocktails that I was inspired by classic cocktails to make, and they're craft cocktails. So I made it very approachable for the home bartender could easily make these. And if they don't want to make those, then they can come and find me at Japs, and I'll be happy to make them for you. But I wanted to make it really approachable and actually make it interesting, not just for somebody who's making the drinks, but also just anyone who wanted to like read a little bit more about our history or the history behind the drinks. It's a really kind of interesting book. So for people who drink or who don't drink, I love it.
So that kind of begs the question for the home bartender that wants to invent something new. Will the book be of help to that person?
Definitely. I always say sky is the limit, you know. There's a template to making a good cocktail. It's, you know, you have to have a good spirit, something of sour, something of sweet, something of interest, like bitters or herbs or fruit or something of that nature, or floral water of that nature, just to put some interest in it. And then how to prepare it is, you know, it's all about balance. You know, you don't want something too sour, or too sweet. You don't want something that's going to be too strong, or heaven forbid, it's too weak, you know. Or going off of that, if you like what I call a nani or a non-alcoholic drink, if you don't want to put alcohol in it at all, there, you know, you can use this book to and just leave out the alcohol in many other drinks, which is cool.
Yeah, it all reminds me of the notion of Tom Waits. He said, "I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy."
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think most people do. So, the whole idea of the revival of classic cocktails in this country is a relatively recent phenomenon. It's something that's vitally important to our present. Now, as it always has been, what do you think took so long, even though, you know, it's maybe been 10 years that stuff has really been happening in that area?
I think, you know, people have changed. Another generation comes to be. And, of course, tastes change. And I think not just even with cocktails, but this wanting to know, to go almost back in time and to, like, kind of envision yourself there. So it was like a different world. I think also with, you know, so much being locked to a screen, we kind of like ache for, want to, without even knowing it, want to have these hands-on experiences. And with a classic cocktail, and when you have a classic cocktail that was made over 100 years ago, and you're drinking it, that is an experience you can't get off of a screen. Having the story behind it and kind of using your mind to imagine being in a place and time that you have never been to is kind of an adventure. So I think that has a lot to do with the classic cocktails coming back and wanting that to have that experience. I think that happens with a lot of things.
So you're sitting at home.
Yes.
Thunderstorm out, a lot of lightning crackling. You're sitting in front of the fire in a big stuffed chair. What do you want to drink? What is it you want to fix for yourself?
So my favorite drink at home is a Beefeater martini. I'm pretty simple.
Okay.
But for me, it's a nostalgia thing. When I was growing up, my family drank Beefeater martinis on the rocks, and they would always have it slightly dirty, three olives put into it. And when we were little, my sister and my cousin, myself, would go around and we'd steal all the olives out of all of our relatives' martinis. And there's something about that, like the nostalgia. So when I'm at home, especially if I'm hanging out with my dad at their house, we always have a Beefeater martini. And it's what's funny, you know, David, you know, it's funny. My little niece and nephew go around and they steal the olives out of our martini without them even knowing that we did it when we were little.
Well, it's apparently genetic.
I think so. It makes them much happier, though. It really does.
You're working on a new book. Is that correct?
I am. Yeah. It's still up in the air whether it'll be published, but I'm working on it. So we'll see. But I have this fascination with history. You know, I love history. I think that's the reason why I get so, you know, into the classic cocktails. I learn history through cocktails. But Cincinnati history and Northern Kentucky history, I think it's very fascinating. And to find out, like, where we live now and how it has changed. And in my profession, like how much it has changed, you know? So the book is all about the history of drinking in Cincinnati, mostly on the spirit side. A lot of it I'm finding has been almost lost after Prohibition. And I'd love to bring that back to light, you know, to show that, you know, we were such a drinking town. I always say, I know we wouldn't be here without alcohol, but I can't believe we're still here because of alcohol. So I think this will be a really fun book. I hope that it works. It works out. If not, I'll just know a lot of stuff and you can come and ask me at Jabs.
Yeah, well, that should be easy. Well, so I know you have some other passions that occupy your time outside of work.
So I've been helping with this initiative for our schools. It's an anti-bullying kindness initiative that I've been working on with a student in this school in the Cincinnati area. It's called Kind is the New Cool. It's an initiative to help to spread kindness through a culture of kindness throughout our schools and to help with inclusion as well. I'm helping to raise money. So with that money, the student is going to be, you know, building a website, getting literature together so he can put this throughout schools and to help it grow. So that's what I'm at. When I was younger, I had problems with bullying in grade school. And it was, you know, I'm almost 46 years old now, and it still sticks with you, you know. And I just don't want to see or hear about kids having to go through that any longer. You know, I think there's a culture that needs to change. And I don't know if I could do it, but I'll feel much better if I've tried.
Yeah, it's an important aspect of society that's finally being recognized now as an issue that all of us need to deal with and think about.
It's really easy to be kind to someone. It really is. I think it takes a lot more work to be really unkind or mean or just rude and disrespectful, you know? It makes you feel good when you're kind to another person. So I think we live in a culture where you don't see that pushed out in a lot of ways, but I think it takes the person to be able to do that.
So. Yeah, people have to make a conscious decision to do something like that, mm-hmm. you know. So you can't just be involved in your mind.
No.
With
no.
It.
Nope.
We've been speaking today with Molly Wellman about her career in the beverage industry. I mean, I never know how to phrase the term. There's so many ways to talk about alcohol. Maybe all of us can show up at Japs on a Friday evening and continue the discussion.
I'd love to have you.
Great. All right. We've been talking with Molly Wellman. Thanks for coming in today, Molly. And for Around Cincinnati, I'm David Delegator.